I just want to read out the text of Scripture that I want to preach from this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. If you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully to these words. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and praise thee for thy presence with us this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns that we have sung and for the hymns that we have heard sung. And for this wonderful and clear, precise text of Scripture that we have before us this evening. And, O God, we do pray for those in this service who are still strangers to grace and to God. We pray, Lord, that you would reach down and save them by your grace. We thank the Lord that you're still in the soul-saving business. And you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray tonight, Lord, at the close of this gospel meeting, that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. O God, we cast ourselves upon thee. Our earnest prayer is that you would hide man far behind the cross and that none would be seen save Jesus only. We pray, Lord, that ere this meeting goes out into eternity, that business will be done for eternity and that precious souls will come to seek the Lord and find eternal salvation through the blood of the Lamb. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The question is often asked, can man obtain eternal life? And of course, the simple answer to that question is this: yes, man can obtain eternal life. But only when a man has received God's salvation can he truly say that he has everlasting life. Therefore, my friend, tonight you have a very important question to answer. And it's this: have you ever received God's salvation? The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The wonderful thing tonight is this: the Bible declares how we can be saved and how we can know it. God in his mercy has revealed to sinful man in his precious word the way of salvation. No matter who you are tonight, you can be saved. You can know before you leave this meeting that you're on your way to heaven. And I pray that that will be your experience this evening. That even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And although you may have come into the meeting tonight in your sin, on your way to hell, knowing nothing of God's eternal redemption, I pray that as you leave this place tonight, that you will leave this place knowing that you're saved, knowing that your sins are forgiven, and knowing that you are on your way to heaven. Because, my friend, make no mistake about it, no matter who you are, no matter how far down the road of iniquity you may have traveled, you can leave this place this evening knowing that you're on your way to heaven and knowing that you have eternal life. In this text of Scripture that we have before us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I do hope that you have a Bible open before you. And if you're here tonight and you haven't got a Bible, then please share with the person sitting beside you, because if you're not saved, it's very important that you see this text of Scripture for yourself. I want you to see what God has written tonight in His Holy Word. It's so important for you tonight to see the Word of God. Not only to hear the Word of God, but to see the Word of God. And I pray that as you study this text of Scripture with us tonight, that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, this text, and burn it within your heart and within your soul. Now in this text of Scripture, we learn, first of all, the wonderful blessing of salvation. Look at verse 9. In this verse, we read these words. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, of course, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And not only is he speaking about himself, but he's speaking about the Thessalonian believers. And as Paul speaks to these believers in this church at Thessalonica, he is reminding them about the day when they were gloriously saved by the grace of God. Paul, of course, was saved on the Damascus Road. And, of course, the church at Thessalonica commenced through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul preached the gospel in Thessalonica. And through his preaching, we read about it in the book of Acts, there were many who came to the saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And their lives were transformed for time and for eternity. And the Apostle Paul here, as he's writing to this church at Thessalonica now, he is reminding them of their great salvation. And he says here, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. In other words, Paul here is pointing out the blessing of God's salvation. You know, the Bible teaches clearly that the wrath of God is going to fall upon every Christ rejecter. And if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, then as you stand before God, the wrath of God someday will fall upon you. Indeed, John 3 verse 36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 1 verse 18 says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And in Ephesians 5 verse 6, Paul said, Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The wrath and judgment of God will fall upon all men who have rejected the gospel message and said no to God's free offer of salvation. But the wonderful blessing of God's salvation is that it delivers men from the wrath of God. Our text says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And praise God, those who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God will never receive God's wrath or condemnation. Because the Bible says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, the person who has received God's salvation will never enter into eternal punishment, eternal damnation, and eternal hell. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here tonight? And you know deep down in your heart that you have never experienced God's salvation. And you know as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight that you are under the wrath and curse of Almighty God because of your sin. You see, that's the reason why God's wrath will fall upon the sinner. Because of sin, the Bible says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And you know this evening that if you were to die this very night and go out into God's eternity, then you would be lost forever and forever and forever. But my friend, let me tell you something. The good news of the gospel is this. The blessing of salvation is this. that God hath not appointed us to wrath. In other words, those who have received God's redemption and God's salvation, they're free from the wrath to come. They have been delivered from the judgment to come. And they have, as we're going to find out in a moment, everlasting life. You see, these wonderful words that we have before us, can these words be said of you? Oh, Paul spoke these words of himself, and he spoke these words of the believers at Thessalonica. But can it be said of you tonight that you're not appointed unto wrath, but that you have received the blessing of God's salvation? Now, if you take a look at the text again, you'll notice something else. Not only will you notice the wonderful blessing of salvation, that God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, but you will notice the only grounds of salvation. Now, friend, don't miss this, because this is very important. Look at the text, verses 9 and the beginning of verse 10. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Here's the grounds of salvation. By our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Salvation is granted to the sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. You know, the sinner cannot obtain salvation any other way. And yet the sad reality tonight is that there are many in Ulster and across Ireland, and indeed right across this world, who are trying to gain admittance into heaven their own way. You cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of water baptism. You cannot obtain God's salvation on the grounds of good works. You cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of the sacraments. You cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of religion. God's salvation is only granted to the sinner on the grounds of Christ's finished work of redemption upon Calvary. Salvation can only be obtained through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you try to get to heaven any other way, then you will miss heaven, and my friend, you will end up in hell forever and forever and forever. The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, "My faith hath found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave." And thank God, all of those who are depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, praise God, all those who are depending upon that finished work, that's the hope of every true child of God. I wonder, my friend, tonight, do you have that hope? Are you standing upon the finished work of Calvary? The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for much. Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, "God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." And in Ephesians 2 verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Here's the basis of God's salvation. I wonder, can you look back to the day in your life when you came and as a sinner bowed by faith at the foot of the cross and in true repentance accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? Are you this evening trusting alone in the blood of the Lamb to save you? My friend, if you're not, then you are standing upon a very shaky foundation. Indeed, a foundation that will not stand the test of eternity. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Indeed, the Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. So we have the blessing of salvation. And we have here the basis, the grounds of salvation. But I want you to notice something else. Take a look at the text again. Look at verse 10. And you'll see here the glorious prospect of salvation. What does it say here in the latter part of verse 10? It says that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. Isn't that a wonderful statement in this text of Scripture? The death of the child of God is described here as sleep. Now, this does not mean that the Christian, when he dies, stops existing. No such a thing as soul sleep in the Bible. It simply means that at death, the Christian's body is separated from his eternal soul. Because verse 10 says, whether we wake or sleep, we will live together with him. And although the body will die and corrupt and go into Mother Earth, the eternal soul of man will live forever and forever and forever. Indeed, the Bible says, indeed it was Paul who said, with Christ which is far better, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And of course, this is the blessed hope of the child of God. This is the great prospect of the Christian. The one that's saved by the grace of God. The one who's trusting alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. The one who has been truly born again of the Spirit of God. Have you got this blessed hope within you tonight? Have you got this glorious prospect? Do you know that if you were to die right now, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? My friend, these are serious issues this evening because they are the difference between heaven and hell. And I pray tonight that if you're not truly saved by the grace of God, that you will study this text of Scripture, that you will learn this text of Scripture, that you will meditate upon what is being said here. Salvation is wonderful because it delivers the soul from the wrath of God. We obtain salvation. This salvation can only be obtained through Jesus Christ and His finished work of redemption upon the cross. It's only through the blood of the Lamb that sinners can be saved eternally. But praise God for all those who come to Christ and put their faith in the Lord Jesus and depend solely upon what He has done upon the cross, then the promise is, the great prospect is, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Oh, I wonder, do you have that blessed hope within you this evening? You see, my friend, salvation is a very personal thing. It's between God and the individual sinner. And you are an individual tonight. Now, you could come to this church all your life and end up in hell. You could go through religious exercises all your life and end up in hell. But you will never know the joy of sins forgiven until you come to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Until you come individually and personally, you will never have this assurance of eternal redemption. Now let me ask you this question again. As you sit in this gospel service tonight, under the sound of God's word, having heard this text very simply preached upon, can you honestly say right now that you obtain God's salvation and that you're on your way to heaven? My friend, if you can't say that, then you have a problem. you have a very serious problem. You see, when you ask that question to most people, this is the answer they give you. When you ask them, are you going to heaven? They say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. And that's the answer that you will get from most people when you ask that question, especially to religious people. I hope I'm going to heaven. My friend, you need to know that you're going to heaven. You need to know that you're on your way to heaven. You need to know that your sins are forgiven. You need to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You need to know that you'll never be in hell. There are three men in the Bible, indeed there are many men in the Bible, but I just want to draw your attention to three of them. The three men that I'm thinking about is Job, David, and the Apostle Paul. Now, those three men lived in different centuries, lived in different ages. But you know, when you study what those three men believed, they all believed the same thing. And when you study what they said about death and eternity, it makes very interesting reading. For example, these men, Job, King David, and the Apostle Paul, they all knew that they were going to die. Each and every one of them knew that they were going to die. Let me read to you what Job said in Job 30, verse 23. He says, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Job knew that the day would come when he would die. David knew that he would die. In 1 Kings 2, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. So there we have an individual, David, and David knew that he was going to die. He knew that the day was at hand when he would leave this scene of time. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6? Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So these three men, as they looked into the future, they all knew that the day was coming when they would leave this scene of time. They all faced up to the fact of death. You know, the problem tonight is that men and women will not face up to the fact of death. Now, we all know that we're going to die. But we all like to talk about the other man's death or the other person's health. We never like to talk about our own health or our own death or our own eternity. But friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you've got to stop what you're doing and you've got to consider the day of your death. Now, there's something else about these three men. These men all knew where they were going to spend eternity. They all knew where they were going to spend eternity. All of these men, without exception, knew where they were going before they died. And they knew where they would be after they died. Before Job died, he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. Before David died, he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. Before Paul died, he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. Listen to what Job said in Job 19, verse 25. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew that the moment he would die, he would go into the immediate presence of the Lord. David said the same. In Psalm 23, verse 6, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice the personal pronouns in these texts of Scripture. You see, salvation to Job and salvation to David and salvation to Paul was personal. They all knew they were going to die, but they all knew where they were going to spend eternity. And of course, Paul said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. What great confidence and assurance these men had before they died.
My friend, let me ask you a question. Have you got this assurance? Are you sure that if you were to die right now, that you would be in heaven? You know, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." But there's something else I want you to notice about these three men. Not only did these men all know they were going to die, and not only did all these men know that they were going to spend eternity with the Lord before they died, so they had that assurance before they died. But these men all had this assurance, listen to this now, because they had trusted Christ alone for salvation. My friend, trusting Christ for salvation didn't start in the book of Acts. And it didn't start in the New Testament. There's only one way of salvation. Right from the beginning of time, right to the end of time. And that one way of salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. Listen to what Job said. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job spoke and speaks of a personal Redeemer. Listen to what David said. "The Lord is my shepherd." Listen to what Paul said. "I thank my God." And of course, the Apostle Paul was saved on the Damascus Road when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, Job and David lived in Old Testament times. Paul lived in New Testament times. But they were all saved through Christ. The only difference was this. Those in the Old Testament, men like Job and David, they looked forward to that time when the Messiah would come and die on the cross for their sins. And by faith, they trusted in the work of Christ and what He would do for them. We today, and Paul in the New Testament, we look back by faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us upon Calvary. But my friend, there's only one source of salvation. And there's only one person who can redeem us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want you to see tonight is this. We have read this text. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." What do these words mean to you, my friend? What do these words mean to you? Paul is speaking here with great confidence. He knows that he's going to heaven. He knows that he has obtained salvation. He knows that someday he's going to be in heaven. The Thessalonian believers, they knew that they were right with God. They knew where they were going to spend eternity. Job and David, although saved many, many years before, they also had this assurance. Have you this assurance? As you sit in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church tonight, have you this assurance? Because if you haven't, then you're lost. Then you're trusting in a false hope. Then you're on your way to a Christless eternity. Oh, my friend, I pray tonight that God will write His Word upon your soul. You need to be saved. And you need to be saved now. You need to come to the Lord Jesus and accept Him as your own and personal Redeemer. You need to look away from self. You need to look away from church. You need to look away from religion. You need to look away from baptism. You need to look away from everything that's worldly. And you need to lift your eyes to Calvary. Because on Calvary, that's where the price of man's redemption was accomplished. That's where the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished."
That's where the Savior laid down His life, to give you and I eternal life, and to give us assurance of eternal life. Oh, I pray that if you have not got this assurance of eternal life this evening, that you will turn to the Lord, turn to Christ, turn to the cross, and there you will obtain eternal redemption. May God bless His word. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee and we do praise Thee for the simplicity of the precious word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the assurance of eternal life. We thank the Lord that the sinner can know that they have eternal life. Oh, the devil would whisper in our ears, we can't know. And the world would tell us, we can't know. But, O God, we thank Thee for the revelation of the Word of God. And we praise Thee, Lord, for the confidence that we have, not in ourselves tonight, but in Christ. Paul spoke these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit because his confidence was in the Lord Jesus. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Oh God, I pray tonight for those in this meeting who are still in their sins, still walking the broad road to a Christless hell. Oh God, have mercy on them. It was a day in old Job's life when he met the Redeemer. It was a day in David's life when he met the Shepherd. There was a day in Paul's life when he met the Christ of God. And, O God, I thank Thee that there was a day in so many of our lives who are here tonight when we met the man of Calvary. And Lord, I pray tonight for those who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even this night, or this meeting goes out into eternity, that there might be someone here who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.